Hello, brand new podcast episode today with Els Arts from Belgium, and I'm really proud because she is one of our top speakers for the Growth Europe Summit, and yeah, she's a pro in user testing, in usability, in what to do that they click, and so on and so on. And yeah, we had a great chat here in this podcast, and I'm pretty sure you will get at least one pretty clear growth hack for your funnel, for your website, for whatever you're doing online. So have fun and take away one growth hack for direct execution. Bye bye. Els, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, fine, great. I told you already, but here in Cologne, there's a clear blue sky. So where are you right now?
I'm in the beautiful and wonderfully easily pronounced Waasmünster, which is between Antwerp and Ghent in Belgium. So, yes.
Waasmünster. Is it with a V? Is it with a V in the beginning?
Waasmünster? It is with a W in the beginning,
okay,
yes.
Great. Yeah. So, and it looks like you are in the home office, right?
I'm at home, exactly. And my husband has the office, so I'm actually in my living room. So this has been my home office for a number of weeks now. Yeah. So yeah.
Great. Okay, for everybody who doesn't know you, please explain what the hell are you doing and why are you doing it and all this stuff. Come on, give us a small introduction, please.
Alrighty. So I'm Els, and when I'm working in my living room, what I do is basically I run an agency in Belgium together with my business partner, Karel Hillis, who you also know, Eric. And we're specialized basically in what we like to call making customers happy. Making sure that the people who use your product, who come to your website, have a great experience. And once they have a great experience, once you can make your customers happy, that is also good for growth. That is good for business. So basically, that is what we do. We drive growth through customer happiness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a good start. Customer happiness. Mm-hmm. I would say it's a big goal. I would say 95% of all business owners, we don't care about the 5%, is a goal for them to make their customer happy. So what does it mean?
I think it's interesting that you say that 95% of business owners, their goal is to make customers happy. I think pretty much possibly 99% of business owners start out with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but sadly, it disappears.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, they start to internalize things. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies actually forget about the customer.
Yeah.
And because business processes get in the way, and profit gets in the way. And why should we do this? You know, it's not as efficient for us on the back end. Yeah, it might be easier for the user, but it's harder for us. So, you know, they make decisions that are better sometimes for causes that are not actually the customer. And if you make enough of those, that will come back and bite you in the ass, as we say in business terms. Because if you stop doing that, if you stop putting your customers first, that's when things go wrong. I like to think that we try and keep our clients on the straight and narrow path of really always advocating for that customer and really trying to make sure their experience is without frustration and packed with delight.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? So it's really interesting. So because we are working as well with a lot of startups, medium-sized companies and big companies. And I would say it's for most of them the same. And my question is, why is it so hard to think or to act like your customers do? Why is it so hard?
Well, yeah. One, you are not your customer.
Yeah.
And I think when you start out, very often when people start building a tool, it's very often to solve a problem they themselves have. And this is when they are actually still quite close to their customer, because they are their own potential customer. They're basically solving for a problem that they themselves have, and they think, hey, this might be, you know, a hole in the market I can dive into. But that's not always the case. And when companies grow, they become less similar to their customers. In usability, there's a saying, you are not your customer. And that's very true. You are not your customer. But companies, again, forget that. And they don't always take the time and effort to keep that close connection with the customer, to keep the dialogue with the customer. And so they start making decisions based on what they think the customer likes and what they think the customer needs. And they sit around in offices and they drink a lot of coffee and they do a lot of blah, blah, blah talking, but they don't talk to the customer. And so I think that's why you forget. People start assuming things while drinking coffee instead of just talking to the customer and finding out what really drives them, finding out what really concerns them, finding out what would make them happy, actually.
So I think it's a great point, this assuming to think what the customer wants, what they need, what they really need, instead of just asking them or finding out. So what I, in my former business, there was always, we grew up and there were 200 people, 300 people, blah, blah, the real scale story of a startup. And in the end, I was a product management. So my job was to think like the customer. And I would say I got this point. But in the end, to talk to the sales department the whole day, because they are the people who are talking, getting the good reasons, the bad reasons, the closed ones reasons, and the closed lost reasons. And the same for the customer service department. They are having the problems on the telephone 50 times a day.
Absolutely.
Why? And for me as well, it was something like, okay, we should do this, but what the hell?
Yeah, I think it's well, I don't know what your experience was, but what we see, especially when we come to bigger companies, the bigger a company gets, the more everything gets siloed off. Marketing does not like sales. Marketing feels as if they're above sales. Sales think marketing is just full of hot air.
Corporate identity, they are making the things yellow and red.
Yeah. That's what marketing does. Sales does the hard work. Anyway, customer service is super undervalued in every client we've ever worked with. It's seen as a nuisance, because they see it at very often as like, yeah, but you know, they mainly deal with customers who already are customers. You know, we have their money already, so it's they deal with the problems. Yeah, but this is a very important part of, well, it's a very important part of two things. It's very important for retention, keeping your customers happy. And that's something that a lot of companies tend to forget when they think about growth. They think about acquisition and wooing new customers and forgetting about the existing customers.
Yeah.
When really, you know, everybody knows keeping a customer is actually easier than gaining a new customer. So putting more effort into that is very important. Yeah, these people talk to real actual customers every day, going through chat logs, listening in on those calls, watching a sales demo. That is absolute gold if you're a growth marketer, you're a user researcher. That is just so fantastic, because then you get to listen and you hear what the actual questions are that people are asking on the demo. And you can also see, you know, when they just go like, boring bit of this demo. This is something they completely don't care about. And if you see that customer after customer after customer, you start to see patterns. And that's very interesting. And you don't have to watch 1,000 sales calls or 1,000 demos. If you watch 10, 15, you get a very good idea of what people really like and what people find boring and what the questions are. So yeah, absolutely right. Those two departments, key to basically befriend and to make sure you collaborate well, if getting close to your customer, making them happy, creating growth that way, if that's your objective.
Mm-hmm. So I hear very often in your sentences questions. So maybe let's let's give a start there. I'm pretty sure you know this. So I recommend everybody this book, The Mom Test.
The Mom Test.
Do you know it?
Tell me about it.
It's a book how to ask open questions. Mm-hmm. Exactly for this purpose, because I would say every business owner, every marketer, every salesperson should be a salesperson, right? Mm-hmm. So if I ask a question, I start selling in a second. Yeah. So, and when do you ask questions, and how do you ask these kind of questions? To get open answers or to get, I would say neutral answers.
Yeah. That's a very difficult thing to do. Yeah. And it also I always say everything depends with what are you trying to find out?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't just ask people directly what you want to know. So if you're building a tool, you can't just go out and tell people, look, we're building this tool. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Because especially if those are people that you vaguely know.
It's for free.
Especially if you tell them it's for free. especially if you tell them there's no price tag. Everybody will go like, oh yeah, I would totally use that.
And I give you my email address too.
Yeah, sure. Sadly, no, you can't say that. So depending on what stage of what stage your company is at, what stage your tool or your site or your product is at, you have to ask different questions, because at first you're mm-hmm. you're just trying to discover, you know, this thing that I'm thinking of, does this solve an actual problem? Mm-hmm. So instead of talking about your solution, you should let people talk about their problem. Ask them about how they're organizing that thing that you think is doing that better. Ask them about how they're doing that now. And ask them about what they like about the current solution they have for that and what frustrates them about it. And then you will know, oh, okay, they really don't like, you know, XYZ about the way they're doing it now. Wow, okay, this is obviously something we need to solve for when we're going to build something that, you know, they might consider as an alternative. So mm-hmm. Basically, that is actually really good advice for asking questions in general, and also like life. Don't talk about yourself. Don't make it about yourself. ask about them. And so if you're at the beginning, ask about the problem. Ask about how they experience that, how they're solving for that, what are their frustrations. Once you've built something and you want to improve upon it, you also, again, shouldn't ask, you know, what do you think we should do better? Or would you like it if we added feature X, Y, or Z? No. Again, open questions. How often do you use it, for example?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you use it for? What are your biggest frustrations? And indeed, open answers. Even if you're sending it out to a lot of people, I would always advocate to have open answer fields for most of the questions, because a number, you know, like how easy to use do you think da-da-da is? I see that very often in surveys still, and that just gives me no information.
Mm.
If you got a 7 out of 10 on that, you know, how easy do you think, what are you going to do with that?
Mm.
And how is that different from an 8? What exactly are you, this is not actionable. You need to get specifics. You need to get input that you can work with and that you can iterate on to improve. for me, that's the most important thing of asking questions and doing that kind of research.
Mm.
Usually in the bigger companies, we see they need the numbers questions to make pretty graphs for management. And if you do surveys like that on a regular basis, then it can sort of help you get insight into where are we going and are we improving or are we doing worse. But you can never ever forget the open questions, because that's where the gold is.
Yeah. So what we did, and it took me 3 years to get it. So we are always doing this kind of growth hacking boot camps everywhere. So it's a 1 day workshop, really easy, and with 20, 30, 40 people. So not the big one, more or less a small one. And for sure, we are starting this workshop with this expectation question. Mm-hmm. And they have to write it down on post-its. So just, okay, what are your expectations for today? What is your goal of the day? And then they are writing it down, posting it to the wall. And with 30 people, I get at least 30 post-its. Maybe it's 40. And I was always collecting them. So I took them always in my bag and took them home. And last year came the idea when I had this hundreds of post-its. I thought, okay, that's the best user research I could do. We have just write down and make an Excel sheet, and then we have to segment it to categorize it. And it is so helpful to have this, because it's a real customer voice.
Yes.
Why did they come to my workshop?
Yeah.
And in the end, the funny thing is, if you start categorizing it, it's only 3 or 4 categories, not more. You think, okay, here are 800 post-its or something. No, it's just 3 or 4 reasons. And that's pretty cool in your position. Just taking it for your positioning, for your landing pages, for your emails. That's really easy, right?
Yeah, I love that you're telling this, because this really ties into the top task methodology. Like we all like we say as well, you know, you might have 800 people coming to your workshops, but they don't come for 800 different reasons.
Yeah.
They don't come for 800 different goals. There's a very specific set of top tasks, top reasons why they come. And that is the case for every website, every tool out there. And so finding out what those top tasks are, what those top concerns are, is very important, because then, as you say, you basically, that's your sales copy right there those post-its. Take out those 3 reasons, see exactly what people, how they describe that, how they describe their problem, how they describe their goal, use their words, and run with it. Yeah.
So I would have one, I would say, I think it's a hard question. So if you are a startup, so you told us already there are different stages for sure where you have to ask different questions. But so we were working with a lot of startups, and they say, okay, Henrik, what you're doing there is pretty cool. I understand this idea, but we don't have a product. We don't have traffic. We don't have an idea, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Where could we start? Do you have an advice for them where they could, or how to start this kind of user research?
Well, I hope they have potential customers, because if you don't have potential customers, shut your shit down right now, you know, and if you don't know where to find them, that's going to be a problem as well. So even if you have nothing, surely you have a target audience in mind.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
Yeah.
Go out there and talk to them. And this is something that a lot of people find scary. A lot of people just like, yeah, but can't I just send a survey out? Yeah, you could. You could also send a survey out.
But to whom? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's tools out there now that allow you to segment and say I want to target people in the US in this industry with this income, da 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 da. But at this stage, the stage we're talking about now, right at the beginning, talking to people on the phone or face to face if that's possible, really getting to know your potential customers is super valuable. So try and you know, leverage your network to make sure that you can actually talk to these people, because that way you're basically also already starting your sales process, because they are your potential customers. Sure. So you're getting them excited about your product. So just going out there and talking to people, that's it. And again, ask them about their problems right now. Don't go in there as a sales meeting like, we have this idea and we want to do this, that, and da-da-da. Don't do that. Talk to them about their issues.
Mm. That's a really, really good one. I want to add one thing, what I always seen, that is, so old tradition companies, like I have them, do you know Birkenstock?
Of course I know Birkenstock.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, because I think it wasn't really, sorry to say that, but it wasn't really old-fashioned German brand. And then something happened in the last 5-6 years and everybody's wearing Birkenstock now. So we have a friend. And she's working for Birkenstock. And my daughter, she turns 6 in July. We are getting this kind of prototypes for her every 3 months, the new versions of Birkenstock for children. And so we were getting them for free, but we have to fill out the form after 2 weeks and after 4 weeks. Oh, my wife is doing this thing. So, but that's something. So it's a really, really old idea. Yeah. To start testing. And I know you are tech-minded guys as well. So if you are building software, everybody knows as soon as your prototype is ready, you start testing it with users. And where I say, so everybody's doing consulting now, or being a coach now, being a trainer now, thinking about products, blah, blah. But most of them don't test it with real people. And that's one thing what I always say. Have you tested it with your real audience before you say, here's the big launch, nobody's coming?
Okay. Well, first off, I'm extremely jealous of your daughter that she gets sent new Birkenstocks every 3 months. I have 3 pairs of Birkenstocks in my cupboard. So if there's any way you can get me on this program, Henrik, please do. I will be eternally grateful.
As soon as the kindergarten will open again, because our friend is a mother from another kindergarten child. So I will ask her. I promise. I do.
That's so sweet.
Maybe they need some testimonials from Belgium or something.
Exactly right. I'll send you my size. But you're right. User testing is very important as well. Stage one, user research before you build something. So you don't build on your own assumptions, but you build based on input. And then as soon as you have something, and it doesn't need to be all finished. It can be just a rough idea. Yeah. Indeed, then do your user testing. This is actually how Carl and I, my business partner, this is something that we've done since 2001, user testing. And I love that you said with your real actual audience, don't just get anybody in. No. They have to be people, I always say, people who give a shit about what you're trying to tell them or what you're trying to sell them. If you're doing a test on a tool that helps you make animated videos, get people in who are interested in doing that. Don't just get anybody, because there's simply no point. You always have to make sure that you're testing it with your actual target audience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very important.
I love this one. Okay, cool. So we don't want to give them too much insights, because you're for sure one of our top speakers for the Grow Zero Online Summit in June. And Els, let us know, what are you going to talk about in June in your keynote?
Well, I will be talking about the lost art of asking questions, because people think because they ask questions every day, it's really easy. But when you really want to get to the good stuff, when you really want to find out what drives your users, asking questions is actually pretty hard. So I'll talk about the pitfalls to look out for when you're drafting surveys or setting up interview scenarios? What are the do's and the don'ts that you have to keep in mind mm-hmm. for you to do research that will actually give you valuable input that you can work with and that you can use to drive your growth?
That sounds pretty cool and pretty promising.
I hope to do it in new Birkenstocks. I will definitely be showing those off to camera.
Today is mid of May, so I have 1 month.
I'll wear an old pair. I'll wear an old pair, but I will be in Birkenstocks. Now I know this. Yeah.
Okay. I can show you my pair of Birkenstock here. It's really ugly.
Those are not Birkenstock.
I know, that's a real German. So you can be happy that I don't wear white socks or something. I'm pretty sure in Belgium or in the bigger cities of Belgium, it will be the same. The young people start wearing white tennis socks in sandals and Birkenstocks as well. I'm turning 40 this year. I have no idea what's going on there. But that's another topic, I would say.
Yeah. We'll talk about getting old a different time.
Yeah, please. Okay, Els, thank you for this half an hour with a lot of great insights for me or for us and a lot of fun. Good morning.
Great talk.
Els, see you
soon. Have a good day.
In June. Have a nice Friday and a great weekend.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Hello, it's me again. I hope you've enjoyed this great podcast episode, and I hope you have registered for the GrowthYou Online Summit 2020 already. There are some free tickets left, and with the free ticket, you can get access to all 17 growth hacking presentations, to the live stream, so it will be live, no stupid, boring webinar recordings or something. It will be live. So take your chance, grab your free ticket, and then we see you soon in the GrowthYou Online Summit on June 18th and 19th. So, bye-bye and take care. Hello, it's me again. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast episode. And number one, if you have not registered for the GrowthYou Online Summit so far, then hurry up because there are just a few days left and your free ticket is waiting. Kickstart your growth engine. And then number two, we've started a growth hacking masterclass in German and in English. That means for you, we have a Zoom meeting every week with maximum 10 to 12 other growth hackers. And we give you a free individual coaching. That means we want to find out your individual growth hack for you, and we give you everything what you need to execute it. So sounds good. Then have a look in the show notes, and then there you find a link for your free registration. And then I hope to see you soon in Growth Hacking Masterclass. That's it for today. So enjoy your day. Bye bye. Execute it.